If you've got your Bibles this morning, I'm going to be in the book of Revelations chapter 21. And I know I've probably preached out of this chapter quite a bit, especially here lately. But I'm preaching about eternity. And I've been preaching on eternity now for, I think this is the fourth sermon that I preached on eternity, so a month of Sundays. And I'll tell you what, heaven is going to be worth it. We're going to live somewhere forever where we'll never die. That place is either going to be heaven or that place is going to be hell, but it'll be forever, for all eternity. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God.'" Over my short, soon be 58 years of this life, I have noticed something, Brother Isaac, that there's changes that has taken place in the ministry. And I don't know if you have noticed that too, but it seems like that when I was growing up as a child and we began to sing and to talk about and even preach or testify, people would get excited about heaven. People wanted to go to heaven. And as we near the coming of the Lord, I know the scripture tells us the love of many will wax cold. But I think back about maybe during my growing up time, and maybe it was a little bit different because I grew up in a time that my parents went through the Great Depression. They knew what it was like not to have some of the luxuries that we enjoy and take for granted so much today. I can remember Dad talking about the first time that he ever got to, and this may seem frivolous, but the first time he ever got to chew a piece of bubble gum. He was a teenager. It's hard to imagine that now, that be a teenager and never having a chance or an opportunity to even know what a piece of bubble gum was like. His brother told him, "If you want to save it, to stick it behind your ear." Grandma had to cut it out. But Dad said the first gum that they ever had was black in color. He said it really wasn't all that good, but it was gum. And you know, I don't know if maybe we're, because we've got so much now, life is so easy that we really don't think about heaven as much as what we should think about heaven. But you know, your desire for heaven is the greatest gauge that we have for a spiritual thermometer that is known to man. When we long for heaven, when we talk about heaven, when we think about heaven, I can't help but think about God. I can't help but think about what He's done for me. Everything that is connected to our spiritual life and destiny is there. Our Father is there. Our Savior is there. The Holy Ghost, He's there. The Bible tells us, "For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word," and we know John, according to John's writing, "the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And it said, "In the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Our loved ones, that are gone on to be with Christ, they're there. Our fellow believers are there. Our life is there. Our citizenship is there. Our home is there. Our treasures are there. Our rewards are there. Our hope is there. Everything that we have is there. I think it's only fitting that we want to talk about there. Heaven is referred to in the Old Testament 327 times. Not counting the times it talks about the heights, ascending into the heights. And the New Testament, he talks about elevated or lifted up or the highest, but heaven itself is mentioned 255 times alone in the New Testament. John started off here in verse 1, and he said, "And I saw." That is a catchphrase. "And I saw." It's kind of like in the book of Genesis, when you turn there and look in the book of Genesis, Moses is writing there about the creation. Every time that he uses the word "and." "And God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void and darkness." Every time the word "and" there, that's a catchphrase in the book of Genesis. That is a time that is separated by a time of space or events. When John uses the catchphrase in the book of Revelations, "I saw," which he uses it, I believe it's 37 times here in the book of Revelations, that is a sequence of events that John's seen there taking place. In other words, when we go back at the very, very beginning of the book of Revelation, you'll find out that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard a voice, a great voice behind him saying, and he goes on and talks about the things that the voice heard, and he says, "Then I saw." There were some things that John saw. Each time he says, "I saw," it gives us a chronological series of events. That means another great event. One event has taken place. Another great event is getting ready to take place. He starts out by saying, "I saw," and he talks about the Lord's return. He talks about just before the millennial kingdom is established and Satan is bound. He said, "I saw." When there's peace on earth for a thousand years, he said, "I saw." Before Satan is released from the bottomless pit, he said, "And I saw." When we come to this phrase in verse number 1, he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." This all starts in Revelation chapter number 19 and verse 11. You can read it when you go home. But it will give you a chronological series of events of what is going to take place. Number one, the church is going to be raptured out of here. Then the Lord comes back to the earth at the end of the 7 years. Then the millennial kingdom will be established, and Satan is bound for 1,000 years. After that 1,000-year period, you'll read where Satan is loosed. And then Satan is defeated. And the kingdom of God is established with a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what John is saying here. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." The old heaven and the old earth will pass away. I believe that's probably a phrase that we're familiar with, is passing away. We see our loved ones pass away. They leave this life, this veil of tears, and they go on to a new life and a new into eternity. I think we understand what that means, pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. We will have a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven. You may say, well, why do we need a new heaven and a new earth? Well, I think according to scriptures, that's pretty plain. Heaven was corrupted by Lucifer. The earth. You know the story of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. That they partook of the tree. Ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And because it, they partook of that fruit and was cast out of the garden. You'll read on over there, not only was Adam and Eve cursed, but God cursed the ground, the earth, from which they came. So the dust is cursed. But now God has promised us a day of redemption. And I dealt with that last Sunday. When we get saved, our spirit, our soul is redeemed, but our body is still cursed. You're going to die one of these days. I hope you understand that. I hope this is not news to you, but your appointed days are you have so many days allotted on this earth, and then you'll die, providing the Lord doesn't come again before you meet your Maker. So we see here that the heaven is cursed and the earth is cursed. Our bodies are cursed. Our soul is redeemed. That's why we struggle with the flesh. You'll struggle with the flesh till the day you die. Why? Because our flesh, we may be saved to the uttermost, but our flesh is still flesh. The Apostle Paul dealt with that when he said, I have to crucify the flesh daily. One of these days they'll bury you, if the Lord tarries, out here in one of these cemeteries. You say, well, wait a minute, the dead in Christ shall rise. Yes, you'll rise. But you was buried in corruption, you'll be raised in incorruption. Just like you'll have a new body, we'll have a new heaven and we'll have a new earth. We'll have a redeemed body. He will redeem our body, and He will redeem heaven, and He will redeem earth. I want you to look at something. This brings up another scripture that come to my mind, and I want you to look at this. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17. Isaiah 65 and 17. He says, for behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. This is Old Testament prophecy. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. We won't even remember anything about this cursed old earth that we're living in now. Brother Jared, we won't be talking about World War I or World War II, or we won't be talking about Vietnam War or the other conflicts, or about the times when we've had plenty or the times when we didn't have any. We won't be talking about all of our pains and our aches and our miseries and our sicknesses and our diseases here. We won't remember any of that. It will all be passed away. Satan will leave for a season. But he'll always come back. Whatever your struggles are, you may get victory over it today, but I can assure you that he will come back and it will be a, you'll battle it the rest of your life. It worked once on you. He'll try and see if he can do it the second time. But all that will be passed away. John said, I saw. Listen to me. He saw a real place. This is not a figment of his imagination. This is not a dream that he had while he was on the Isle of Patmos. But he saw a real place. In verse number 2, and John said, and I saw a holy city. Not only will we have a new heaven and a new earth, a new body, but there will be a new holy city coming down. The holy city, Jerusalem. Did you know Jerusalem actually spans three dispensations? You'll remember the first holy city when David acquired the threshing floor from Onan the Jebusite, a place to build the temple of God. All the Old Testament prophets, everybody referred to the Jerusalem as the holy city. All throughout history, it's still referred to this day as the holy city. Did you realize that in the millennial kingdom, when Jesus Christ comes back with his saints and sets up rule and reign in Jerusalem, it is called the holy city. During that millennial period, there will be Satan will be bound for 1,000 years and he'll be loose for a season. You'll find out that people will come from without of the city and they'll be tempted and they'll be destroyed basically. They'll lose their salvation. But then John says, I saw a new Jerusalem coming down, the third dispensation of the holy city. That holy city, Satan is cast into the bottomless pit. There will be no more devils, no more temptations, no more struggles, not in this city that John saw, a new city. It was the New Jerusalem. And then in verse 3, I want you to look at this with me. He said, and he heard a great voice, a heavenly announcer. 23 times, if I counted correctly in the book of Revelations, he heard a great voice. An announcer that had something important to say that John wrote down. Now, this is, theologically, it's a little bit tricky. And I hope I don't confuse anybody here this morning. But I know that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But there are people, no doubt, that are here this morning, that are listening to me preach, that God is all around you, but He's not in you. You know, God appeared in different ways throughout the Bible. We call it a theophanies. And there's times that I believe that He physically actually spoke to the prophets. And we get over in the New Testament the day John was baptizing Jesus, and there was a voice out of heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I think everybody that was there present heard that voice that day. But He showed Himself on the Mount of Transfigurations. He led the children of Israel with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. But if you get to doing a word search on His presence, you'll go back and you'll end up at an Old Testament word that's called Shekinah glory. It is the glory that first filled the temple.